If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. I am sensing the return of the Lord. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. And when you look at it through the natural eye, it doesn't make sense. But if you are born again, you know Jesus is coming back. But I have this urgency to get the people of God ready. The one thing about the Apostle Paul is he knew his audience. He knew who could handle certain doctrine. The letter that he wrote to the Ephesians was not as challenging as the one that he wrote to the Corinthians. The letter that he wrote to the Romans was probably his most difficult work. One of the problems in pastoring and dealing in church experience is that the pastor sometimes expects everyone to be on the same level. And that's not going to happen. And so periodically, you have to preach to both levels. And those that are the more mature have to just understand that what they're getting may be a rehearsal of what they've had before, but it's still necessary. The Apostle Paul does that sometimes in his writings, particularly in his prison epistles, and especially in his Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians letter. In fact, Ephesians and Colossians are so connected, you can almost find the same terminologies. He knew it was necessary to rehearse certain concepts among the believers. If we are not reminded of the coming of the Lord, of the return of the Lord, we slip into spiritual mediocrity. Our worship begins to dissipate. Our obedience is no longer there. We begin to take God for granted. Now, I'm not standing here to condemn anybody for doing that. It is a normal evolutionary process for relationships. You take your partner for granted. It's normal. It's normal. Husbands and wives do it all the time. When you've been married a long period of time, there is the mindset that, you know, just certain things are supposed to be. It's like the husband walks up, takes his plate, just puts it in the sink because he just knows she's going to wash it. She gets the bills. She just puts them on his desk because she knows he's going to pay it. We do this. It's not bad. But every now and then, you have to remember that nothing stays the same by osmosis without you stirring it. The relationship with God is critical. And there are things, there are components to that relationship that require our assistance. For example, Jesus dies for us, Holy Spirit draws us, God saves us, and then he works through us, but we have to submit to him. I do not suggest that God is incapable of working with a Jonah, but if you know right, you know that submission to God is a key component of your relationship with him. When you don't submit to him, then you find yourself struggling in the relationship. The joy is gone. And so we get to the place where we've become so satisfied with life here that all of our desires, all of our drive, all of our energy is placed here. And so we don't think in terms of Jesus coming back because we have built such a world here. One preacher, bless his heart, and I have great respect for this man of God, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that he said. And he made a statement. He said someone chastised him about buying buildings for his ministry. And he told them God's going to need these buildings when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. And I had a little bit of a theological struggle with that because my concept is during the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to tear down everything that had Jesus on it. And God's going to come back and rebuild. because the stuff that we've done in a lot of instances was not for him. It was for us. Hence, we have the judgment seat. The judgment seat tests your motive. It tells you what you're going to bring in to the kingdom. The rewards that we strive for today may be burned up at the judgment seat. Today we want to, again, go to 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul talks about foundations, and he talks about the material. But in verse 13, he says, every man's work shall be made manifest. This is something that you and I, because of our secular exposure, we don't think in terms of everything we do being revealed. The only thing that will not be manifest are the things that are under the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing. Those things are washed away and God won't remember them anymore. But our attitudes and our actions pertaining to the work of God, every time you say something to someone that is injurious to their spirit, that hurts their heart, that discourages them. My mama had a unique theology. She said, there's a handwriting. That hand, while she was using it as a metaphor, tormented me. Because every time I did something, I didn't have a perfect childhood, but every time I did something, I would hear her voice. There's a handwriting. And I could just see God keeping a notebook for me. I don't know about you. Maybe you're like very saved. But if God is keeping notebooks, he's got an encyclopedia on me. That's right, because I was smart enough not to do stuff at home, close to home, and near my family. My mom, bless her heart, used to sit there and say, when I would testify about things, she would say, I had no idea you did. I said, that was the whole purpose. It was so you didn't know. But God knows. God knows every evil thought, every rotten thought, every backbiting word, every contrary text and email, God knows it. And he keeps a record. I believe he has a recording angel whose job is just to keep a record of everything you do. Now, when it's sin, it will be manifest through consequences and results. Sin works out in various ways. A messed up life, physical destruction of the body through sickness and disease, a destroyed family, nothing's working out for you. When there are secret sins being committed, you, the believer, you don't have to wait for the judgment seat. It comes out in your life. Depression can set in, all types of physical consequences when there are secret sins being committed. Doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive you, but there are consequences to those sins. Unfortunately, we think that God, in forgiving us, he removes the consequences, and that's not always true. Not always. Sometimes we just get grace. Sometimes we get grace and mercy. Grace forgives the sin. Mercy removes the consequences. Sometimes he says, nope, I'm going to let you get that, because that way you won't do it again. But we're so hard-hearted that we do it again and again and again because we think we're getting away. Let me explain. You're getting by, but you're not getting away. It's important for you to understand that Paul says it's not so much your work. It says your work will be tried by fire, but the motivation of the work, verse 13, what sort it is, what's causing you to set up that ministry. See, you may be saying, the Lord is telling me to start this parachurch ministry, but he's not. You may just not want to submit to somebody else. When I speak to prophetic people, I often tell them the key to prophecy is to first control your own desires so you don't prophesy out of a need to be recognized or a need to be right or a need to tell somebody else what to do in their life. Usually people who are extremely frustrated with their lives often hear voices telling them to get into leadership in church because they have not learned how to be comfortable, confident, and victorious in their life. They're going to tell everybody else what to do. So God says, when you stand at the judgment seat, now this is a very sober, a very serious concept. We, including me, are going to stand before Jesus. And this is why it has to happen in eternity. Because you're talking about every Christian from the first century up to when we're raptured out. And there won't be anything such as time. All right, well, how long is this going to take? You'll be in eternity. And it's just going to take as long as it takes. And by the time they get to us, we're going to stand there and watch all of the others come before us. The problem with that is that it builds anxiety as you watch everybody else, people that you thought were right, and you watch their rewards burn up. And you start saying, oh, my goodness, I'm next. And then you hear that sound from Jesus, Eric, get up here. And you walk up sheepishly and you say, yes, Lord. And he pulls out your record. And he doesn't look so much at the results. Yes, the results are also at the judgment, but it's the motive. Did you do this because you needed to feel great? See, that's why God gave us families. If our family is healthy, you can get all the great feeling you need at home. If your family life was productive and wholesome, you won't need church to validate you. So God looks at the motive. What's driving you today?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites you to our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. This year's theme is Serving One Another. Join us for a special week of services beginning Tuesday, September 12th at 7 o'clock p.m. as Pastor Susie C. Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church delivers an impactful message from God. Bringing forth the Word of God on Wednesday, September 13th at 7 o'clock p.m. is Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church. Thursday, September 14th at 7 o'clock p.m., we will be in for yet another treat as Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church brings us a powerful message from God. On Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., prepare to receive a dynamic word from our leader and pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. For the closing night of our celebration, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., bring your teenagers out to our Teen Live event. So be sure to join your BDIFC family for our 2017 Holy Convocation, Tuesday, September 12th through Saturday, September 16th, here at Bethel Deliverance International Church.